So I've got handouts, so on that. And before I give the paper, on the handout, there's some information about the authors. The authors that I'm going to be talking about. So the work that I'm talking about is a work from Galen, the physician Galen. And it's a commentary, a medical commentary on Plato's Timaeus. Timaeus being one of Plato's dialogue that discusses, well, the creation of everything from, you know, the cosmos down to, I guess, the microcosmos, humans, really it's mankind, and then it's a little bit of a addendum at the end about the creation of women. So this commentary is a lemmatic commentary, and what I mean by that is that the text kind of Plato is quoted in this case, and then we have Galen's commentary falling. The actual work is highly fragmentary. We have only some fragments, which I'll talk about, surviving in Greek, and there's actually not a substantial, but a good deal of fragments that are preserved in different Arabic authors. And the Arabic author that I'm going to be talking about today is Abu Bakr Muhammad ibn Zakariya al-Razi, who dies around 925. And his name, or I guess the name al-Razi means from Rye. So he's from Iran, or modern Iran, or where Rye is. And he was a practicing clinician. He had a lot of medical experience. He ran a couple hospital in Baghdad. But he's also known for his contributions to philosophy. And he has an interesting reception, at least in Islamic philosophy or even Jewish philosophy. He was criticized by thinkers like Maimonides and Ibn Sina for denying divine prophecy and divine revelation, and he was considered a heretic. Maimonides even says so far that he should stick to his day job, you know, stick to the urines, you know, don't mess with philosophy. And even Sina said he couldn't even do his day job correctly, you know, as he said, so, you know, he's quite kind of an interesting thinker in that way. So I'm looking at specifically at the work, his Al-Kitab Al-Hawi, which means the comprehensive book. And, okay, with that kind of little introduction, I'll get on to the paper. The influence of Plato's Timaeus on Galen's thought is well known. The dialogue discussions of the tripart division of the soul and the basic structure of the human body provides the basis, in part, for Galen's development of his own psychology and physiology in works such as his On the Doctrines of Hippocrates and Plato and On the Usefulness of the Parts. His most sustained engagement with the Timaeus can be found in two texts that are not fully extant. His fragmentary commentary on the medical aspects of Plato's Timaeus and a synopsis of the dialogue that only survives in the form of an Arabic translation. Divided into four books, Hupomnemata, on the medical aspects of Plato's Timaeus is a lemmatic commentary on the medical portions of the dialogue, and it's been hypothesized from the existent fragments that it started around 41a of the Plato's work. Fragments from book 1, 2, and 3 survive in Greek, although the authenticity of the fragments from book 1 and 2 have been questioned. Galen relates in On the Doctrines of Hippocrates and Plato that some friends have asked him to compose a commentary on the medical passages in Timaeus, as, quote, few have written on this subject, and they not well. He contrasts this dearth of exegetical activity with the numerous commentaries written on the dialogue's philosophical subjects, some of which are, quote, longer than what is appropriate. Galen's principal contribution to the tradition of the Timaeus is to demonstrate the relevance of Plato's text to the fields of medical theory and practice. His influence on this aspect of the dialogue's reception is nowhere more evident than in the works of medieval Arabic writers. Translated into Arabic by the Christian translator Hunayn ibn Ishaq, who died somewhere either 873 AD or 877, his dates are a little bit questionable, and his son Ishaq ibn Hunayn. Translated into Arabic, Galen's on the medical aspects of Plato's Timaeus is quoted by a number of later medical authors, such as in the Arabic tradition Ibn Sarapion, Pseudo-Thabit ibn Qura, and pharmacological writers like Ibn Samajun and Ibn al-Baytar, and I guess philosopher and also medical writers like Maimonides. For these authors, the Timaeus through Galen's interpretation is an authority on the subjects like materia medica, colic, medical terminology, and epilepsy. It is in the works of Arazi, however, that we find the most extensive engagement with Galen's Timaeus commentary as medical text. He cites Galen's medical Timaeus, I guess entitled in Arabic, Timaeus al-Tibbi, or sometimes simply cited in the work as Timaeus, 21 times in his comprehensive book, the Al-Kitab al-Hawi, or translated in Latin as the Liber Continens, and once in his On Smallpox and Measles, the Arabic title being Kitab al-Judari wal-Hazba, and once in his book of aphorisms, the Kitab al-Fusul, which is alternatively entitled The Guide, the Kitab al-Murshid. My research into the comprehensive book's citation of On the Medical Aspects of Plato's Timaeus has revealed that Arazi loosely paraphrases this work. He omits Galen's discussions of terminology and of the more speculative aspects of the dialogue to emphasize material that is relevant to medical practice. While Arazi was profoundly influenced by Timaeus's philosophical arguments, it is clear that he finds Galen's commentary on the dialogue useful in its treatment of more practical matters for instance, pathology, gynecology, and pharmacology. This paper will demonstrate how Arazi interprets Galen's commentary in light of his own medical knowledge and perhaps also his own experience. In doing so, I will argue that Arazi adapts Galen's exegesis of the Timaeus to the purpose of a practical medical handbook. Published posthumously, the comprehensive book is a loose anthology of ancient and contemporary medical sources, arranged roughly in the order of diseases from head to toe, a capite ad calcum. Occasionally, Arazi comments on his sources, glossing certain terms and giving additional information. The Arabic manuscripts introduce these supplementary personal notes with the word li, meaning either for me, by me, in my opinion, or I say. The 15th and 16th century Latin translations of the comprehensive book, on the other hand, consistently render li as dico, I say. Jennifer Bryson has observed that li does not always refer to Arazi himself. Rather, in some cases, the word indicates direct speech from Galen and therefore translate Greek expressions as lego, ephain, and moi. So, I say, I said, or, you know, by me. Of the 21 citations of the Timaeus commentary, 7 are followed by these li passages. It appears that li refers in these instances to Arazi rather than Galen. Generally, the passages are short terminological glosses, emphasizing terms with a particular medical relevance. For example, in Book 16, whose topic is fevers, Arazi cites the 4th book of Timaeus on the treatment of quartan fever. And this is passage 1 on your handout. The citation probably comes from Galen's commentary on Timaeus 86a, which discusses the types of inflammations and fevers generated from an excess of one of the 4 elements. While the Platonic text attributes quartan fever to an excess of earth, Arazi's citation describes the disease in terms of humoral imbalance, an excess of black bile. Accordingly, treatment of the fever consists in assisting the concoction of the humor through purgative drugs and good regime, such as moderate exercise, baths, abstinence from rich food and sex. Arazi draws attention to the term purgative drug, Adawa al-Muharik, and details its proper application in the treatment of quartan fever. And he says, I mentioned what he means by purgative drugs in On the Use of Catharsis at the Onset of Fevers. These drugs, by their nature, are contrary to black bile and heat strongly like asafoetida and its like. If you administer this before the bile's concoction, you will double the strength of the fever. Arazi does not explain precisely what he means by the term purgative drug, but points out the reason for its efficacy in curing quartan fever, namely its capacity to heat the body and therefore counter the cooling properties of black bile. For a more general discussion of purgative drugs, he refers the reader, or some say that these are notes to himself, to his treatise On the Use of Catharsis at the Onset of Fever, entitled in Arabic, Fi Stimal al-Ishal fi Bittida al-Humayat. Arazi also makes reference to this work, which does not survive, in a chapter on fevers from his work, The Guide. In his gloss, Arazi reiterates Galen's warning about the proper use of purgative drugs like asafoetida. Both stress that if these drugs are administered prematurely, the fever will worsen. Arazi's specific warning that the fever will double, muda'afa, seems to be taken not from the Timaeus commentary, but from Galen's work Therapeutics for Glauco, which is cited also in his comprehensive book quite extensively. For in the latter work, Galen writes that simple quartzine fever will become doubled if purgative drugs, and this is in Greek, kena pharmaka, like asafoetida, are given before the fever reaches its crisis. The term double does not refer to the increased strength of the fever, but the change in the fever's periodicity. Double quartzine fever occurs in a repeating pattern of two consecutive days followed by one day of remission, whereas simple quartzine fever occurs every fourth day. Drawing on his extensive theoretical knowledge, Arazi qualifies the Timaeus commentary's rather vague statement that the fever will become stronger and more virulent than before. In this example, Arazi can be seen to supplement his citation of passages in Galen's Timaeus commentary with information gleaned from other Galenic works. There are other cases in which he may be using material from non-Galenic sources to adapt Galen's discussions of the Timaeus to the context of contemporary medical practice. In his discussions of diseases of the sexual organs in Book 10 of the Comprehensive Book, Arazi cites a short passage from the Timaeus commentary on the generation of marrow and its effects on the male reproductive faculty. To this quotation, he appends a simple recipe for stimulating the production of sperm, and this is passage 2 on your handout. Fourth Book of Timaeus, Plato said, marrow increases in sperm. Galen, what Hippocrates says also shows that he believed that marrow increases in sperm. He said, when sperm increases, the animal desires to expel it. I say, therefore, to increase sperm, eat fruit pulp with sugar. This is the only citation of the Timaeus commentary in the comprehensive book which reproduces the lemmatic form of Galen's Greek text. The passage appears to be based on Timaeus 91a-b through b, which compares the male genitalia to an irrational animal in its attempts to satisfy its desire for procreation. Timaeus explains that marrow, which previously he termed sperm, endows the penis with a love for generating by implanting therein a lively or animal-like desire for emission. And this animal-like desire in Greek is zotikein, epithumion. In Arazi's citation of this passage, he appears to omit the suggestion of the Platonic text that the penis has some sort of irrational, independent will, and renders instead the animal-like desire of the part as the animal desires, ahiba al-hayawan. Moreover, Arazi's quotation of the lemma, Plato said, marrow increases in sperm, is not found in the Greek text of the Timaeus. Rather, the dialogue states at 86c3-4 that when sperm grows abundant in marrow, man comes to be in a state of madness due to the pains and pleasures of his desire. Furthermore, Galen does not attribute to Hippocrates the belief that marrow increases in sperm, for in the surviving Greek fragments of his commentary on Timaeus 77d, he explains that Hippocrates demonstrated that sperm is generated from spinal marrow. Therefore, Arazi seems to reverse the relationship between sperm and marrow expounded by both Plato and Galen. At the end of the citation, Arazi comments that one should eat fruit pulp, in Arabic this is labub, literally the inner flesh of marrow, the fruit, mixed with sugar to increase sperm. The 1506 Latin edition of the Comprehensive Book translates labub as medullae fecum in Latin, the marrow of figs. The recipe expresses a sympathetic relationship between marrow and sperm, that is, by consuming marrow, the body in turn generates sperm. The citation of the fourth book of Timaeus, however, suggests the opposite, namely that marrow increases in sperm, not the other way around. Thus, the remedy that Arazi prescribes appears to reflect the original Platonic and Galenic accounts of the production of sperm occurring in marrow. Nevertheless, Arazi's note presents a practical application of the basic understanding that marrow and sperm are linked. It is unclear whether Arazi has added this recipe on his own authority or taken it from an earlier Greek or Arabic source. Galen and later Greek medical encyclopedias like Paul of Aegina, who's 7th century, never mentions fruit pulp or sugar as remedies for stimulating the production of sperm. In On the Powers and Mixtures of Simple Drugs, Galen advises that patients suffering from impotency to eat foods that contain many seeds, like tassel hyacinths, chickpeas, pine cones, and octopus. Paul cites similar prescriptions in his discussion of aphrodisiacs in Book 1 of his Pragmatea, that's his medical handbook, but adds that a drink of pepper, man orchid, rocket, and safflower should be given to enhance the libido. Similarly, Arabic medical encyclopedias such as Al-Majusi, Az-Zarawi, and Ibn Sina do not record Ar-Razi's recipe, but quote with modifications Galen and Paul's simple and compound remedies. It is distinctly possible that Ar-Razi's prescription of fruit pulp and sugar is his own addition. As my previous example has shown, Ar-Razi does display a tendency to adapt Galen's commentary in accordance with his own knowledge and experience of medical practice. Ar-Razi applies the same methodology to passages of the commentary treating the more speculative notions of the Timaeus. For instance, in his account of diseases of the brain in Book 1 of the Comprehensive Book, Ar-Razi cites Galen's explanation of Timaeus 43a through 44b, which describes the effect of excessive moisture on the soul. This is passage 3 on your handout. As the citation in the Comprehensive Book indicates, Galen takes a distinctively materialist approach to the dialogue psychology, writing that moisture has a debilitating effect on the intellect. Those whose temperament is too moist, he says, becomes lazy, dull-witted, sleepy, and subject to a number of illnesses. Ar-Razi expands on this aspect and describes the effect of dryness, the opposite of moisture, on both the body and soul, saying, I say, dryness always makes the soul move more strongly and quickly. What we see in those in whom dryness dominates is movements that exceed the speed natural for humans. The idea that dryness harms the intellect itself is wrong. Rather, it increases it all the time. This is where we get a bit kind of weedy with our text here. The action of the soul in us, however, has a limit that is not increased. But the excessive dryness does not exceed the limit, then there's a bit of textual corruption in the Arabic, damage that needs to be treated when it is excessive. Parts of the text, as I've said, parts of the text of this passage are problematic textually, but Ar-Razi can be seen to argue that dryness enhances the function of the intellect because it facilitates the movement of the soul and body. In so doing, he appears to make reference to a Platonic conception of the soul consisting of different parts whose interaction gives rise to knowledge and belief. For Ar-Razi, therefore, a dry soul is able to process sensory data unimpeded by moisture and thus to achieve a better understanding. He warns, however, that an excess of dryness harms both the intellect and body. The idea that a dry soul moves more quickly and strongly is found in neither Plato nor Galen. In the Timaeus, Plato states that a wet soul moves irregularly and irrationally, but when an influx of moisture no longer assails the soul, then it rotates regularly and is able to reason. In a synopsis of this passage of the dialogue, which only exists, survives in Arabic, Galen interprets Plato's words to mean that moisture inhibits and dryness facilitates the intellect. Furthermore, in his discussion of the influence of the humors on the intellect in On the Soul's Dependence of the Body, Galen explains that, quote, wetness brings about mindlessness, and dryness understanding. The extreme of dryness brings about the extreme of understanding. These comments, it can be noted, are not expressed in terms of the Platonic doctrine of the circular movements of the soul. Ar-Razi likely has inferred from Galen's statements in these different works that dryness increases the speed of the soul's rotations. If moisture slows the body and intellect, it must also retard the psychic rotation through which the soul achieves understanding. Dryness, on the other hand, produces an inverse effect on the body and intellect. That is to say, whereas a wet soul moves slowly, a dry soul moves quickly. It can be observed that Galen himself does not engage in any great depth with the concept of psychic rotations that is set out in the Timaeus. In a synopsis, for example, the dialogue's extended discussion of this doctrine is summarized in only one sentence. Ar-Razi's note offers an advance on Galen's materialist account of Plato's psychology by describing the effects of the body's mixtures on the rotations of the soul. Although he is not concerned in this citation with giving practical medical advice, as in my two previous examples, he again uses Galenic principles to explain the basic physical aspects of the theories in Timaeus. Arguably, Neoplatonists like Proclus and Plotinus were more influential in shaping how the dialogue was understood in the Arabic tradition. As I've shown, Galen composed his exegesis of the Timaeus with a very specific purpose in mind, that is to provide detailed criticism from a medical perspective. Ar-Razi has slightly different purposes in his comprehensive book, namely to elucidate the parts of the dialogue that are directly relevant to medical practice. In so doing, he draws on the wider body of Galen's works and other sources, perhaps his own experience, as in the recipe of fruit pulp and sugar. Nonetheless, he also demonstrates that a Galenic approach to the Timaeus may have an important bearing on more metaphysical aspects of Plato's philosophy. In the case of this important but somewhat idiosyncratic author, Galen made a very distinctive contribution to the Arabic tradition of the Timaeus. Thank you.